flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, everybody. For those of you tuning in to hear the Shaletta Show, Shaletta is off this weekend. I'm clearly not Shaletta Brundage. There is one, and there is one only, Shaletta Brundage, who is off this weekend, which means either she's harassing her son up at college, on vacation with the rest of the kids, or expanding the empire, which is, and it's probably, let's be honest, it's probably some combination of all three of those is what she's up to this week. But my name is Dan Cook. For those of you who are regular listeners here to WCCO, you may recognize me from Drive Time with DeRussia. I usually am the producer for Jason DeRussia, which means I get to clean his shoes and wash his car, which is really, really fun for me. But it's fun to be with you all here on a Saturday afternoon. Thank you for being here. Hope you'll stick around. We've got hopefully an entertaining show coming up here this afternoon. But I want to start with the fact that I'm here, that this is my first time actually trying to host a show on WCCO radio. So what I need from you all is to either call or text me. It's the SilesFinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226. With this, what is the best advice you have or have received for doing something outside of your comfort zone? I know how radio is supposed to work at this point. I've been doing it for over 30 years. But being on this side of the board, Jonathan Lowe is along with me. He's running the board for me this afternoon. But being over on this side is a new experience for me here at WCCO Radio. So that's what I'm looking for some help here, is what's the best advice you've received or have for somebody that's doing something outside of their comfort zone? I know how that side of the world works very, very well. I've been here at WCCO for 23 years. It'll be 24 in February. This side, not as much experience with. So, John,
it's a lot more open over there on that side.
There's a lot less stuff. Yeah, that's the first thing. I can kind of
spread
out
over there.
It's a little luxurious over here. But I'm wondering, is there something you have in mind? Is there something that somebody's given you advice along the way for how to do things outside of your comfort zone, how to do things that you're not used to? Because mea culpa, me, my personality, that's a big hill for me to climb. I love my comfort zone. I'm very, very comfortable in my comfort zone. I like to ensconce myself and sort of hunker down and just do my thing and let the rest of the world do what it's going to do. This is a whole other situation for me.
I'm trying to think of anything in particular other than just, you know, open yourself up to it, open yourself up to being able to learn new things, try new things, which is general stuff that my parents have said every now and again. But I think it's more in seeing people doing it. It's not necessarily advice that I've gotten from people. It's actually seeing people going out and doing things outside of their comfort zone that's more of an inspiration to me to possibly do that than anyone saying, oh, you just need to get out there and do stuff.
Yeah, you hear that a lot. You know, you just got to go do it. And to a degree, I get that advice, right? You just got to take the step and go do the thing because you don't know what you don't know until you have that kind of experience. We're already getting a bunch of texts in here on the stylesfinancial.com talking text line, 651-461-9226. Thanks to those of you who have texted so far. 763 writer saying, I'm doing great so far. Well, that's great. I mean, we're, what, 2 minutes into the show? I'm doing great. That's cool. Thank you for that.
That's it. We're done.
We're done.
Shut it down.
We can just
let's all go
Stevie
home.
T here. Can we just go right to Stevie T? Do some college football scores. Dan, you sound great. Be yourself and you will succeed. That's very kind. Thank you. Great that you have your own show. The best advice to be is be yourself, have confidence in yourself, and just have fun. Confidence is an interesting concept, John. Because how do you build confidence without experience? And yet you do sort of need confidence to step out and be able to do something, right?
There are people out there that, yes, you to I think, have a rooted sense of confidence. You have to be able to do something. You have to be able to convince yourself and do the work to be out there. There are some people, though, they don't need the experience. They just come in with a personal confidence that is exuding, that it exudes and it just covers the room. It covers the building. Sometimes that works. Sometimes it don't.
I'm slightly jealous of those people to be able to have that. I'm too analytical for that, right? I come into a situation and I want to break down every possible permutation of everything that could possibly happen so that I'm ready, so that when something goes sideways, I'm ready to adjust to it. And, you know, again, 20 plus years of doing what you're doing over there on the board, I've got that part pretty well down. This is a whole other thing.
And that's the thing. It's when you get into a new situation, like you said, outside of your comfort zone, you could be in that specific situation or job. Like when I started working here, I had worked in a radio station. I had worked in media, but working this particular job at this particular station, it was different than doing it at the station that I did in college or doing television. And there was nervousness coming into this situation. So even if you, let's say, go from a CEO of Pepsi to a CEO of Pfizer, just as an example.
Like you do.
Like anyone does. You know, anyone out on the street.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm the CEO of Pfizer.
Why not?
You still have to learn the business that you're in coming from the business that you were at.
Right.
And that can take time and anxiousness. That you could you could still be anxious doing the same exact job but at a different place.
So I'm thinking of two kind of inflection points in my life as I'm coming into this today in terms of having some form of confidence in terms of stepping outside the comfort zone. And like you, one of them was coming here for the first time. Because when you come here and you learn, especially that job running the board and all the different things that you have to be managing while you're doing that job, it really is drinking from a fire hose. I mean, there's so much coming at you all at once. And I remember distinctly just being kind of a nervous wreck as I was learning how to do this thing. And Lindsay Peterson, who's now one of the content directors here, was the guy that taught me, you know, trained me in and taught me how to do the board and taught me how to do all these things. He is, and you will verify this, one of the most even-keeled people you will ever meet in your life. I mean, the guy doesn't get too up. He doesn't get too down. He just is sort of there.
I've never heard him yell at anyone.
No.
And I've been here for 15 years myself.
Yeah, he's just not that guy.
Yeah, he knows the business. He's been here for a long time, so he knows the ins and outs and the trouble spots.
So when I came to him early on and I'm like, I'm just a nervous wreck. I don't know if I can do this. And he looked at me and went, oh, yeah, man, I was sick to my stomach for the first 2 weeks I worked here. And I sort of did a big double take, wide-eyed look at him going, oh, if the guy who's as even-keeled as anybody I've ever met had that struggle and got through it and became this even-keeled person, I'm thinking, oh, yeah, then, you know, I can do that. And that really honestly helped settle me down and got me into it. That and Don Shelby, who was doing the afternoon at that point, and that's where I sort of trained in. At one point, I made some sort of mistake, and Lindsay was on top of me, not on top of me, but he was saying, hey, look, here's the thing. When you make a mistake, you just got to get to the next thing, because the one thing you don't want to have happen is it snowball on you and turn into five mistakes
right.
when it's only one mistake. So I made a mistake. And I sort of tensed up and I sort of happened to look over at Don and he moved the microphone aside. This is off the air. He looked dead at me and he says, if you ever do that again, I will bleepity bleep and bleep you. And then got this wry little grin on his face like Don Shelby's wont to do. And that, you know, everybody sort of laughed and it cut through all the tension and it just wasn't a thing anymore. So those are the two moments I really, really remember leaning into this job. And then, of course, the other thing, I had a huge decision less than 10 years ago now where I went to seminary. And we'll be talking about faith a little bit later in the show as it relates to politics. So it'll be all kinds of fun for people to listen to that. No, but it's going to be a really good segment. I hope folks will stick around and come to that with an open mind. But so in going to seminary, that was a big step because I didn't have a bunch of money sitting around to pay tuition. I knew I was going to have to take on student loans. And I wanted to know that 5 years down the road when I was done with this Master of Divinity degree, that I would have a job and I would be willing, you know, ready to go and working in ministry and doing all the things. I needed to feel like I knew that, or how do I get into it, right? I mean, I couldn't take the step to start it unless I knew what the end looked like. And I had to have a couple people come and kind of calm me down from that and say, look, you know, 5 years from now, nobody knows what's going to happen, right? Nobody knows what the world's going to look like. Now, this was 2017 when I started seminary. So it was 2016 as I was having these conversations. And of course, 5 years from then, we were in the middle of a pandemic.
Little did they know.
No, and they couldn't know. Right.
How prophetic that was going to be.
The world literally turned upside down on its head. So, so that sort of, again, calm me down and just take it one step at a time, right? So today we're just taking it one segment at a time. And I really appreciate all the texts that are coming in. Again, you can text us or call us. It's the stylesfinancial.com talking text line, 651-461-9226. Somebody asked if I'm going to have a cooking segment, calling it Cooking with Cook. Just very clever. No, there will not be a cooking segment.
That seems a little too on the nose.
I can make about three things from scratch, and that's about it. Maybe four. Maybe there's a four. Otherwise, you know, there's frozen pizza, and I'm good to go.
There's on the nose, and then there's just two on, like, in the nostrils.
Here's the one piece of cooking advice that I will give people. Get an air fryer. Air fryers have completely changed the way that I cook and eat around my apartment. I got rid of my grill. I barely ever use the oven. Air fryers are fantastic appliances. I highly, highly recommend them. Take a few deep breaths, relax, and have fun with it. Let callers do the talking to fill in time. Well, then I need somebody to call. TheStylesFinancial.com talking text line 651-461-9226. Put one foot in front of the other. Best advice I got when hiking a very sketchy ridge. I think it applies to a lot of situations. That's a great bit of advice, right? I think there's an old, was it a Chinese proverb? That says the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. But yeah, you just kind of do one thing, and then that leads to the next thing, and then that leads to the next. But if you get focused on thing number 67, and you're on step two, then it gets you all out of sorts. So that's what we're going to try and do here today. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll take more of your calls and texts. Again, the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226. My name is Dan Cook, and you are listening to WCCO Radio. Reliably reliable.
Again, in the nostril.
Little too on the nose.
Yep.
A little too on the nose. Good afternoon again, everybody. My name is Dan Cook. I'm filling in for Shaletta Brundage this afternoon on WCCO Radio. Thank you for spending part of your Saturday afternoon along with me here on the home of the Twins. Looking forward already. I'm already looking forward, Jonathan, to spring training. Even though the baseball playoffs are still going on, and I'm very much locked in on some of those. It's been some great games, especially in the New York-Cleveland series. Holy cow.
You are a baseball wonk.
I am.
So I will let that slide for you. For me,
appreciate that.
There's way too many sports in between now and spring training, so I'm going to focus on those.
I appreciate that, and you're not wrong. Part of the reason that I'm so looking forward to spring training is because for the past two Februaries, Jason and I have gotten to go to spring training.
I spent a week down
there in Fort Myers in February, and you know, Minnesota winters, February is when you want to be in Southern Florida.
That is true. Now, real quick.
Yes.
Bouncing off of that, just a tangent.
Yes.
How has Fort Myers looked with all the weather that's gone through? How's it looked the last couple of years?
So 2 years ago when we went, they were still bouncing back from, I forget what the name of the hurricane was that went through there. I want to say it was like Ike or something like that. But it was still pretty bad. There were still a lot of tarps. There was still a lot of debris hanging around. Last year, it was amazing the amount of cleanup that had been done and how normal most of the areas of Fort Myers looked. Now they just got hit again.
with Milton coming through. So it'll be interesting to see when we get back down there.
By the way, Ian was that hurricane.
It was an I. There you go. Hurricane Ian that slammed him a couple of years ago. So, yeah, Fort Myers has had a rough go, which is why they very much encourage Twins fans to come on down and be down in Fort Myers during spring training and enjoy the sunshine and bring some tourist dollars along with you. We are talking about the best advice that you have or the best advice that you've received when it comes to stepping outside of your comfort zone. Let's see. I had a text that I wanted to get through here. Let me find that really quickly. How about asking dads to call in with good advice for brand new dads? I mean, that's stepping outside your comfort zone for sure. For sure. Hello, Dan. First of all, great job. First of all, I thought if Shaletta was joking when she said you were going to be filling in yesterday. No, Shaletta never jokes. She's serious 1,000% of the time. Absolutely. I'm kidding. Secondly, I want to step outside my comfort zone, but at the same time, I don't want to step outside of my comfort zone. Let me find that again because it just re-upped on me. Because I'm blind and I'm used to doing what I've always done. Yeah, that's a big thing, right? Because, again, I'm a person that likes the comfort zone. I like to kind of have that familiarity to it, to know just at least loosely how things are going to go. And then, you know, when stuff happens, because stuff always happens, you can pivot a little bit. But just give me a general directionality and I'll be okay. And I get your point, wanting to stay in that comfort zone, but I do think it's important at times to stretch yourself a little bit. And people who know me are laughing right now as they hear me say that, because that's, you know, pot calling the kettle black kind of, oh my gosh. But yeah, I do think it's important. And this is something that I've been inspired to try. And fortunately, our boss, Brad Lane, was kind enough to give me a shot to do it. So I'm really, really excited to be here with you all today. We do have a caller. Shelly is in Invergrove Heights and joins us again on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. Shelly, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Thank you for calling in. What did you want to say?
I wanted to say that I learned the lesson about stepping outside your comfort zone real early when I was a kid in about third grade. Mm-hmm. I was not a naturally gifted athletic child, but all of my friends in the neighborhood were. And so I joined a little league baseball team or softball team, and I was disappointed because I struck out and lost a game for us. Oh. And my dad consoled me in my bedroom afterward by saying, look, you have to think about why you joined the team. This is a big lesson you're going to learn in life. And if you're not comfortable doing something because you know you're not good at it, then you have to decide why you want to be part of it. If it's because you want to be with your friends and do what they want to do, then you have to decide that, I'm not going to be the best runner on the team. I'll probably strike out a lot, but I want to be part of the team and be with my friends. And I learned that lesson on because I decided, you know, I love my friends, but I want to do the things that I'm good at. And so I did more art type things and that kind of stuff and eventually got back into sports. But there's times when you have to step out because you need to grow. And there's times when it's better to just stay inside your comfort zone because you're good at something else.
So how do you distinguish between those two times? Is that knowable or is that something you just have to, well, this time I'm just going to wing it and give it a shot and see what happens?
It's case by case. I've done things in life that I have never been one that's been comfortable being the center of attention, even though I'm a Leo and they're supposed to be, you know, the ones that want to be in the spotlight. And I've done things just because I wanted to force myself to grow. I tried out to be part of one of the Winter Carnival character cast about 10 years ago and was lucky enough to become a Klondike Kate.
Oh, my.
And, yeah, and that, like, you know, look at me. I
That's
can sing, I can dance.
That's putting yourself out there for sure,
yeah. Yeah, and I did it because it was something that I always admired those women. I always thought it would look like a fun thing. And I did it, and I was really pleased with the experience. It brought me a whole bunch of new friends and that kind of stuff. But, you know, at each phase of your life, you figure out you need something. And at that point in my life, I needed a hobby. I needed something to get out of the house. And I thought, well, being part of a group that is representative of our community and is kind of PR, I would like to do that. And so... Yeah.
So
it's, you know, every few years you gotta decide, am I just going to sit in my comfort zone or if I'm going to try something new? No.
So our boss here, Brad Lane, likes to use the phrase, know your why, know why you're doing something. that needs to be the focus,
exactly.
You know, either on a radio segment or, you know, and that sort of sounds like what you're saying here, is whatever it is you're going
exactly.
to do, whether it's in the comfort zone or outside the comfort zone, know why you're doing it, and that helps drive you to wherever you're going. Is that a good summation of what you said?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
There you go. Awesome. Shelley, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate you listening.
You bet.
All right. Take care. Talking Text Line says, I love listening to you, Dan Cook. I really do. I appreciate how you, not obnoxiously or in your face, use your ministry wisdom from college and put that lens on things when you talk. I think that's a beautiful perspective. I'm grateful for that. That's from the 651. Thank you very much. I try to push the boundaries a little bit when it comes to faith and ministry here on WCCO. We haven't done it in a little bit, but we do like a Monday message segment with Jason DeRusha on Drive Time with DeRusha, which if you're not already a listener to that show, I strongly encourage you to go check out those podcasts, either via your Odyssey app, which apparently is telling people that Twins baseball is on right now. We'll have to fire off an email to somebody to get that fixed one of these days. So whether it's listening on your Odyssey app or just wherever you find podcasts, just check out Drive Time with DeRusha, and you'll hear Jason and a little bit of myself along with that. But I do, you know, I do want to respect the fact this is a secular radio station and not just come on here and go all hellfire and brimstone on the bit. But, you know, I do think it's valuable to talk more in open public spaces about faith and about religion in general. I think we get real scared to do that because we're fearful we come off as proselytizing. And I don't necessarily think that's it. I think we can just have conversations. We're going to have one of those coming up at the top of the hour with a friend of mine talking about politics and faith as well. So thank you very much for listening. Let's see. The talking text line is 651-461-9226. The Stiles Financial. com talks and text line. You're doing great, Dan. You're a natural. I don't know about natural, but thank you very much. If you saw the amount of preparation I put in to this little 3-hour show on a Saturday afternoon, natural would not be the term that you would assign to that behavior. So thank you for all the texts. I'm sorry, go ahead, John.
No. Well, that is a good point, and that's an inside baseball point.
Yeah.
There are people that have natural tendencies, and I do think you have a natural tendency on this side. I do. I think you have very calm demeanor, and you can relate to people. But what happens beforehand, what happens to get guests on to look mm-hmm. for segments to talk about, this is a full-time gig when you're a host.
Yeah.
And so that's a bit of inside baseball that I need to work for 6-7 hours here possibly to look through news segments, look and nowadays look through social media and talk about and talk to people that I know to try to find interesting stuff to relay on the radio. It's not just for a lot of hosts, I just show up and that's it.
Open up the microphone, press this little button, start talking, get paid every 2 weeks. Isn't that how Dark used to put it? And that, folks, is what $5 of bribery will get you. Kind comments from Jonathan Lowe. Thank you, Jonathan. I appreciate that very much.
I expect it in Bitcoin.
Absolutely. That's done. And thank you to all of you who are listening. Stick around, because coming up after the break, hey, the Lynx are going to play a Game 5 in the WNBA Finals. I'm not sure if you watched Game 4 last night, but it was a thriller. And we're going to talk to our old friend Sloan Martin, play-by-play announcer and former radio play-by-play for the Minnesota Lynx. She's going to join us here in just a few minutes and talk about Game 4 last night and what to expect from Game 5 tomorrow night from the WNBA Finals. So stick around for that. You're listening to WCCO Radio. John, you're the best. I have no idea what the bumper music's going to be today, ladies and gentlemen, and Jonathan Lowe is coming through with aplomb, as always. My name is Dan Cook. Welcome back. Thank you for being here on WCCO Radio. I don't know if you were like me and locked in to Game 4 of the WNBA Finals last night, but it was something. It was something. And so I thought about, as I was approaching this show this weekend, who did I want to talk to, especially about the Lynx, knowing that they were going to win Game 4 and force a Game 5 on Sunday night. And who better to bring on than our old friend, our old colleague, who has gone on to bigger and better things, as we all knew she would, Sloan Martin, joining us here on WCCO Radio. Sloan, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you for the invite, Dan. Cool to hear you in the big chair.
Right?
And I, you know, this is a good thing to go over because I have yet to catch my breath, frankly, from last night.
Yeah, it is actually a big chair. That's what's interesting, is they do have a gigantic chair here at the host position that you get to sit in. So first thing, Sloan, looking at the WNBA Finals here, it's really a shame. I was thinking this all last night. It's really a shame that these two teams haven't produced a better series. I mean, it's not been entertaining at all. There hasn't been any high level of play. It hasn't gone down to the wire. Why have these two teams failed to provide us with the entertainment we so richly deserve.
I know. They're like making us decide, is this the greatest final series of all time or just one of the greatest? And I wish they would just make a decision and then just decide if it's going to be the best of all time. But, you know, they have this last and final game that I think might make that determination. It's the first time a WNBA Finals has gone to five games since 2019. And the fight of the Minnesota Lynx was on display last night. Some clutch free throws from Bridget Carlton to seal the game. And it has been, even with the first couple games, teams going up by double figures each time, the opponent roaring back to make it close and chaotic and completely unknown who's going to win.
Yeah, we've seen that in several games. Last night, that wasn't necessarily the case in terms of the big lead, right? There were 13 ties and 14 lead changes, and I don't think either team led by more than 6 points. Last night was the definition of a nail biter at Target Center, and whatever people paid for those tickets, they got their money's worth.
And that is absolutely right. I was in the stands and got to see these last couple of games 3 and 4, right in front of me. And you're right, it is getting your money's worth for sure. And, I mean, the entire stadium, which has been full, including setting an all-time Lynx attendance record for game 3, over 19,000 people in the stands, which is amazing progress to see. It has never been louder in that arena before. And I say it as someone who usually when I'm there is also listening to a broadcast in my ear at the same time. So it has been wildly entertaining. The fans, the passion has been outstanding. Even walking back to the car through the Skyway, people are chanting inside, outside, just so much passion for what could be the first championship for this franchise since 2017.
So coming into this series, I want to look big picture for just a second. Honestly, not a great WNBA mind here necessarily, but you know, you follow it and you start to learn a few things. It seemed to me coming into the series, New York had a serious experience advantage, right? They were in the finals last year and got beat by Las Vegas. They've got multiple multi-time all-stars. It seemed like, even though the Lynx had played them very well in terms of the regular season, that the Liberty had cruised through the playoffs. They were in great shape. It really kind of set up for them to dominate this series. And then they come out in game 1, and get up with that big double-digit lead. And you think, okay, here we go. What have the Lynx done? What is it about the Lynx that makes them so well-suited to compete with this team?
They are epitomized by selflessness, that they don't care whose night it is. You have a superstar in the face of Collier who sets the tone with that kind of personality. This team had the highest assist rate in the WNBA this season. They share the ball superbly. It is beautiful basketball to watch. But I remember even early on, head coach Cheryl Reeve saying, this is a team that just problem solves. They just work it out. And that's something that takes good listeners. It takes people who are not defensive. And it takes great teamwork and respect for each other as well. So the chemistry has been completely off the charts. And I think that combined with the coaching and the skill of these players blossoming in these roles that they've embraced has made them get to the point where they are right now.
And I thought it was really interesting last night. You know, the Liberty held Fee to 14 points. I mean, she still gets the double-double with 10 rebounds, which you would think if you're going to hold Nafisa Collier down like that, given how she's performed in this series, that would probably lead to a New York win. But the rest of the lineup really stepped up. I mean, they had, five players in double figures last night? You have McBride with 19 and Williams with 15. Carlton and Smith both had 12. I mean, like you said, it's this team concept that really has defined the Lynx's season this year.
And that's the epitome of Lynx basketball, where even if Nafisa Collier has been putting up 30 points prior to the finals, she had the highest scoring playoffs in WNBA history to that point. It can be anyone's night on any given night. I have been particularly so impressed with Courtney Williams, who has been fearless. She has only been, this is only her second year being a WNBA point guard. She had played off the ball throughout her entire career, and the way she's able to set up teammates, she wants the big shot in those big moments. There have been so many others who have stepped up at different times. Alana Smith, not entirely healthy right now. And then you have Dorka Juhas, who is a DNP coach's decision in game 3, comes in and has, well, she's 0, plus minus, basically, which is a really positive thing when you are going up against Brianna Stewart, Jonquel Jones. She was so huge off the bench for Minnesota. It has just been this machine that has operated so fluidly all season long. But, you know, you talk about the balance, but it was also the defense. Brianna Stewart, one of the best on the planet in terms of basketball players, 5 for 21. The defense has just been always the reliable thing for this team.
You're always, as usual, a step ahead of me, but that's exactly where I was going to go, because Stewart and then Ionescu, who hit, of course, the huge buzzer beater 3 to win game 3, combined last night to go 10 for 36 and 0 for 9 on threes. Is that just a factor of the Lynx smothering defense, or did they have an off night? Is it a combination of the two?
I think it's a combination of the two, but honestly, not entirely surprising. I think Brianna Stewart has not been as efficient this season as we expect her to be, as someone who's a multi-time MVP and champion in the WNBA. And then Sabrina can sometimes have those off nights too. And then you can see it early on and you think, okay, keep shooting then. You're doing us a favor at this point. So I think that those things combined, they started out slow and cold from the very beginning. And then it just felt like this is an opportunity you have to pounce on, because it is hard to get those kind of performances from those high caliber players.
Free throws were, they had more of them than the Liberty did, attempts anyway, the Lynx did, but free throws were a bit of a struggle early on. They weren't knocking them down at the rate that you'd like to see them, but then you get down to the end of the game, and here's the two biggest free throws probably of her career for Bridget Carlton, and she knocks both of them down. How hard is it, and they talked about it a little bit in the postgame, but how hard is it at the end of a game, as hard fought as that is, to stand 16 feet away from the hoop and knock down two shots like that?
Oh, boy. I mean, you know what? These professionals would tell you I practice this a million times. I have shot hundreds of thousands of free throws in my entire life. So for them, it feels like it's just that muscle mechanics, that muscle memory, and they know exactly what to do. But you're right that this type of situation is completely different. It's going to feel different for these players, for sure. I think it's so impressive what Bridget Carlton was able to do, the kind of season she's had, how she has blossomed this year into one of the best role players in the WNBA, and then to just so confidently knock them down. Luckily, you have a tie game, you know, to help you out. That puts you ahead. Maybe that also helps mentally, too, but it is entirely a stressful moment.
Really, really fun to watch them pull off that win in Game 4 and force a Game 5. I want to talk about Coach Reeve for a minute. She won Executive of the Year, Coach of the Year. I mean, she's done everything you could do as a coach. She's a, you know, no mortal lock Hall of Famer as a head coach. But I do wonder, given the lack of big-time names on this roster, as well as they've played, the way that they've gelled together, is this perhaps the best job she's ever done coaching a basketball team?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And this might be, because Reeve has talked about how she's had to evolve as a coach, where it's just different way you coach players now compared to maybe what she was used to, and especially coming up in this game as well. When you have that dynasty team and players that are made in a lab for skill, for teammates, for work ethic, and you get all five of them and you win four championships with them. And then kind of take a step back and you're drafting, you know, 7th, 8th overall, you're outside of the lottery. How is this team getting better? And Reeve even pointed to, you know, unlike New York, we just weren't pulling in those big free agents. We had to find, how are we going to do this our way? And they have found that way. But I think what makes this year maybe the most impressive of Reeve's career is the way these players, and I keep using that word, have blossomed into the players that we are seeing right now. Alanna Smith was cut from a terrible franchise in the Indiana Fever, which they were at the time, one of the losingest teams in the WNBA, didn't have a team, was not on a team. Now second team all defense. You look at Courtney Williams the same way, who she's brought up the bench with Dorky Juhas, Myesha Hines-Allen, Nafisa Collier. We've always known that she's an insanely talented player, but to become who she is now, this lethal superstar, has been absolutely tremendous to see that kind of growth.
There was a lot of eyebrows raised when she passed on Angel Reese in the draft. A lot of folks wondered about that move. But given the way this team has gelled together and been kind of a vibes team, and this isn't a knock on Angel necessarily, but there was a certain style that she wanted to play this year, and clearly it's been successful. So, you know, winning that Executive of the Year award is probably very well deserved as well.
You know what, that's a good point. And, you know, to be honest, I was never one of those people that raised an eyebrow at that decision. Someone who, you know, does a lot of broadcasting in women's college basketball. The Minnesota Lynx wanted to be a team that is five out. And then you also look at this is the best shooting team in the WNBA as well, along with the New York Liberty, where Angel was shooting, you know, I think she ended the season before her injury, shooting 43% around the rim, which is just, you know, really tough. I know she's going to improve quite a bit. She's only a rookie right now. But you just look at the way this team fits together, and it's hard to imagine any other combinations.
So let's talk about the league as a whole, because I would contend, and again, you know, not claiming to be a great WNBA mind, but, you know, following it a little bit, especially with the success that the Lynx have had. But with Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and, to a degree, Cameron Brink and some of the other talent that's come in, and the success in terms of ratings and the success, these finals obviously have been fantastic. Is this the best year in league history?
I would say, oh gosh, that is so hard because it's been kind of a bittersweet moment for so many longtime fans, and I would put myself in that category as well, where you're so excited to see this growth. You're excited to see tickets be in high demand, but then, you know, season ticket holders are being priced out, where you have so much respect for these players who have no longer played or not playing anymore. Like Lauren Jackson, who won 2-3 MVPs, was one of my favorite players growing up, my favorite player in high school. So it's hard to say, oh, well, now we're really where we need to be. I think the way we look at it is saying, this has been maybe the most monumental year where we can still appreciate that talent of the past. It certainly is a transcendent moment for the league as well. It's fun to get those new eyeballs as well, but still keeping in mind the history that came before, what's drawn us to women's basketball. But there's no denying the metrics, looking at the TV ratings, looking at audience, you know, for attendance is the word I'm looking for, jersey sales, all those things, even outside of Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever and Angel Reese as well. I think you can't say anything but it has been insanely positive and just a huge swell of momentum, maybe bigger in any one season that we've ever seen.
Of course, it's not going to be very long, but we're going to be into college season, as you talked about being a college broadcaster. And there's a whole nother wave of talent that's coming, right? We're obviously very familiar with Paige Beckers in this neck of the woods, but Juju Watkins and Flo-J Johnson and the machine that is the South Carolina Gamecocks women's basketball team. There's a great, exciting college season coming, and another large wave of talent going to be hitting the WNBA for the following season.
That is what's really exciting to keep in mind. Hannah Hidalgo of Notre Dame goes in that category too. She averaged about 26 points per game last season as well. I think this does feel like a sea change in terms of the talent coming in, but also the eyes that are simultaneously seeing these players that they'll want to continue to follow as well as they start their WNBA careers. And I think that is what has been so exciting in this case too. And kind of a question for women's basketball fans for so long. We have so much passion. We have the TV viewership, the attendance at the college level. How do we continue that? I think that is that next kind of stepping stone that we're getting to, where it's like, I really love watching this player in college. Let's continue that journey and see what they're able to do at the next level.
Yeah, that's a neat thing to see the growth in the game like that. All right, so game five tomorrow night in New York, 7 o'clock is the tip time. Answer me this. The Lynx win if this happens.
Oh, boy. That is a tough one, because the first thing I want to say is if their shooting is on, I think Kayla McBride getting hot to start for really developing and really pushing their presence at the three-point line early on is going to be very important. I thought that was key in game four, not getting behind. You could point to just playing on the road in general. This is a Lynx team that had over 30 wins in the regular season. They know how to win on other teams' courts, but it's hard to put a stamp on anything, Dan, because it's a game five. Yeah. This is all-out effort. This is what these players have literally played for their entire lives to get to this point and to this moment. So it's hard, incredibly hard to predict. But I would say Minnesota with a very good start, especially from the three-point line, because you can't predict again if Sabrina and Brianna Stewart are going to have that off of a night. I would not predict that again. So it's being disciplined, but I think especially lighting it up from three to make that statement and keep it close.
Yeah, you're probably not going to have much success betting against those women. They are fantastic, fantastic talents. And either way this goes, it's going to have been a great series. Outside of a blowout, which I can't possibly see happening in a Game 5 situation like that, this has just been a phenomenal series, and I fully anticipate it's going to continue to be so. Sloan, you can catch Sloan Martin calling games on Big Ten Network and Fox Sports. Sloan, thank you so much for taking the time today. It's a thrill to always talk to you and to have you on my very first show on WCCO Radio. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it, Dan. You're doing great, and reach out anytime.
See, I told you, John, you just have to give them $5 and then they'll say really nice things about you on the radio. It's really nice. Thank you, Sloan.
Yeah, thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bitcoin.
There you go. Yeah, Bitcoin. It's coming. It's coming. Thank you all for hanging around. Stick with us. We got one more segment to go here. And then coming up next hour, we're going to talk about approaching politics through the lens of faith. Stick around for that. That's going to be interesting. More come next here on WCCO Radio. We are your home for the Minnesota Twins right here on WCCO Radio. Can't wait for spring training in February. We'll be covering it front to back all season long right here on WCCO. Thank you for sticking around. My name is Dan Cook. I'm sitting in for Shaletta Brundage, who is out building the empire even further, I'm sure. Coming up next hour, I want you to stick around for this conversation. We're going to talk about how communities of faith approach this election. There's so much divisiveness. There's so much negativity. I want to talk about how people of faith can be peacemakers and bridge builders and give people paths to think about how they vote rather than telling them this candidate you should vote for, that candidate you should vote for. It's going to be an interesting conversation with my friend Dan Kent, who will be joining me here in mere moments. Keep listening. It's 64 degrees on a Saturday afternoon right here on WCCO Radio.